I've been in 2 Timothy last month, and it has been quite difficult to contain myself when the pastor had been preaching. This is because I have had preached from 2 Timothy before at Green Oak Ranch and knew the power that the Apostle Paul wrote in this letter. It is truly dynamic. Pastor Gary had no idea of how much I wanted to put icing on the delicious cake that he has been feeding us, nor did I want to tell him. I said to the Lord, if you want me to top the cake with icing, that he was going to have to speak to the pastor about this. For what had been preached was so good that you knew that it was God that was speaking, and who was I to add anything to it except for the Holy Spirit? Amen. Sure enough, without me saying anything to Pastor Gary, he called me last Monday to ask me to preach this morning. The Spirit of God leaped inside of me at the opportunity. So, this is a God thing. How many love when He does this in your lives? It is incredible that a God uses us in this way, isn't it? So, this morning, we will learn how to fan the gift of God that is in us. You will also see why it had been so difficult to contain myself last month in these services. As you know, in the early church, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy encouraging him, though he was young, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in him through the laying on of Paul's hands. So, if you brought a Bible, would you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3-7? Please accept my apologies for not making a PowerPoint presentation. For I just came back from doing a gig for Dynavox Technologies and didn't have time to do a PowerPoint. If you want, however, I could provide handouts by next Sunday. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3-7. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3-7, Paul writes Timothy, saying, I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline. The gift that God has given us cannot lay dormant, lest it become dead. Rather, it must stay alive. We must fan into flame the gift that God has given us mainly to tell of Jesus, that he not only was born to die, but he rose from the dead so that we are made alive through him forever and ever. It is interesting, because when studying for this morning, I saw that the gift that Paul was referring to was singular instead of plural. So, guess what that one singular gift that God gave us is? Anybody? If you said the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, you are 100% right. It is the miracles in us, a godly and eternal change in our human spirit that Pastor Gary has been saying last year. When we open the gift of eternal life, there are many other packages in the same box that accompanies salvation, such as the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. So, the gift that Paul writes about is the gift of eternal life and is all-inclusive with many other packages in the same box to work out our salvation. Many Christians are content to open the gift of eternal life and don't open the other packages in the same box. As a result, these people never grow. At best, they are pew warmers stinking to high heaven. What are the packages in this eternal gift that God has given you? For me, they are encouraging the saints and preaching the good news of Jesus. In my secular job for Dynavox, it is teaching and healing people by offering them the power of speech. What is your gifts within a gift? Fan them into flames until Jesus comes again.
Amen.
Fan them into flames.
Amen.
Say it with me. Fan them into flames. Fan them into flames. Fan them into flames until you are red hot. Fan them into flames. Fan them into flames until hot flashes become only smoldering smoke next to the gifts of God that He has given us. And how I want to use my gift of preaching until my Dynavox catches on fire from my pointer rubbing the screen too fast. Fan them into flames. Obviously, with this kind of zeal in our lives to fan into flames the gifts that God has given us, we cannot carry around the spirit of timidity that Paul warns about. They cannot go together. They cannot go together, just as fire and water don't mix. Given enough water, the fire will be quenched. We cannot sit around passively, lest our fire will be quenched. In Romans 12, Paul encourages gifts to be used actively instead of them being quenched. So, let's turn to Romans 12 and read from verses 6 to 8. Again, Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In other words, Paul is saying to fan the flames by letting people use the gift within the eternal gift that God has given each one of us. Fan the flames. We see here that we must not be passive about what God has given us. His gifts are to be used actively to build up the saints of His, you and me. For freely we have received, and freely we give. Amen. Last Sunday I was talking to Pastor Patty and Harry about the concept of giving in general. For it is true that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Some Christians ask God to bless them. That is not completely wrong, as He loves to give to us who asks. This promotes intimacy. But the secret and power are when we bless God by our money, time, and energy, as well as our devotion towards Him. When we bless the Lord like this, He gives to us automatically. It is a given. Without sounding prideful, that has been one of the secrets in my life. You cannot outgive God. Blessing Him is a sweet aroma and a part of our daily worship. Fan the flames. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Paul says again, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline. God has given us a spirit of power, but what is this power? The power that Paul is talking about is certainly not from us. Rather, it is a supernatural power in us from God Almighty. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. This is incredible. By Jesus living inside of us, we are expected to do even greater things than He did during His first coming. This does not have to do with us, but because Jesus is living inside of us. When we invoke His name, we release His power. This is also living in the baptism of the Holy Spirit instead of living in the baptism of repentance that keeps us from moving forward. Pastor Gary taught on this a few weeks ago, and I have been chewing on it ever since. Yeah. Haven't you also?
Yeah.
We have to get rid of the sinner mentality. If we had truly confessed Jesus to be Lord in our lives, God refers us as saints. Yes, we do sin, and hopefully less often. But we have been transformed from sinners to saints.
Yeah.
This is a pretty sobering and humbling thought, and to do greater things than Jesus did, we must fan into flame the gifts that God has given us through the Spirit of power. One of the biggest things that I have admired all my life, even before I became a Christian, is obvious weakness in people, and the Bible tells us that God admires this attribute also. For when we are weak, we are strong. In a previous sermon, I said that I grew up with a friend, Jamie, that contracted polio at 3 months of age with total paralysis below the middle of his chest and undone to his toes. Since his disability occurred at such an early age, his legs looked underdeveloped, shriveled, and useless in contrast to his strong upper body. I showed how he got up from the ground in my mural. And yet, with braces to straighten his legs at the knees as stiff as splints, he walked effortlessly with crutches by swinging his lower extremities in front of him. Though his legs were paralyzed and weak without a single working muscle, my friend was a strong person. He passed away a few years ago, and he was eulogized as a man of inner strength. I admired his strength. Likewise, as we will see, God delights in our weaknesses, for his power in us is made perfect. Would you please turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and see how Paul boasts in his weakness that is really God's strength? Again, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. First, to go back a little, before we read these verses, the apostle was given a rad vision of heaven. The things that he witnessed was glorious. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. It blew his mind. In his natural flesh, he would have told the whole world about his vision that he witnessed and perhaps start a denomination. But, as we will see, he was given some kind of disability to keep his eyes on the Lord. Once again, let's read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10 after this incredible vision. Starting with verse 7, it says, "To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Instead of complaining about his disability, Paul understood. He says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you." This is also why Paul encouraged Timothy to serve the Lord Jesus in spite of his young age. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Are you hot yet? Fan yourself to increase the flame for nor power. Hallelujah. Verse 7 also says that we have the spirit of love. Again, this is not what is in us naturally, but it is a supernatural love that comes out of us because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. With this kind of love, we are able to love the unlovable, people that irritate us, and even our enemies that cause us harm. I admit that I am not quite there yet, but I am a lot better than I was. I will always remember a test that the Lord put me through approximately 20 years ago to love the unlovable. Don't ask me why, but there was this guy in my old church that got his kicks out of standing in my way. Then he would pretend that I hit him with my chair. He would deliberately fall to the floor for all to see before and after the service. The first couple of times, this was kind of cute. But after time wore on, it got tiring. I mean, very tiring. Extremely tiring. I tried to avoid this dude by driving my chair in another direction, only to find him running into me and falling. I would look at him spread out on the floor. My eyes would roll up in complete irritation at him. Besides, I felt embarrassed when other people looked at the scene time after time. I wanted to look cool in front of others, but he was completely spoiling my plan. How dare him! Finally, the Lord dealt with me on this issue and asked me if I loved this troublemaker. In all honesty, I had to confess that I had everything except love for him. I repented and asked God to give me love for this unlovable man. It was amazing. When I prayed for this love, I went to church having a new attitude towards my brother who liked to clown around with me. I saw that he was starving for attention. I could feel his deep-seated hurts. His family rejected him, coming out of a Jehovah Witness background. What was just amazing was each time that I did not pray before seeing him at church, I would get irritated at the clowning around. So, I saw that I needed God's supernatural love for this brother. I must fan into flames the gifts of God given to me with more spirit of love, which is the first fruit of the spirit and the most important. Finally, it says that we have been given the spirit of self-discipline. Other translations say self-control. To fan into flame the gift given to us, we cannot be governed by anything except by the Holy Spirit. We cannot put our trust in human emotions because feelings are fickle, leading us astray. We must do what the Lord tells us to do instead of doing what we feel like doing. We must be governed by the Holy Spirit, not by our flesh. Many people say, do what your heart says. But watch out for this trap. For unless the heart has its residence in the Holy Spirit, it is a pawn that the devil uses for evil desires. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus made a pretty bold statement when he said, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We have a habit of becoming all religious, taking our thinking caps off, agreeing with Jesus' statement that I agree with also. But in reality, we perceive that this may not be the case. We are awakened to many people straddling the fence. We see Christians all of the time loving the Lord one minute and satisfying their own flesh the next. As the band comes up, would you please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 through 4. Again, James 4, verses 1 through 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred to God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. The answer to our previous question about the truth of the impossibility in serving two masters and the conflict in it with so many Christians straddling the fence is found in this portion of Scripture. The verses that we read is actually a reality check to our Christian walk and see if we are governed by our flesh or the Holy Spirit that resides in us. The letter of James tells it how it is without holding back any punches. In fact, we have to go no further than verse 1. It says, again, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle against you? If we are straddling the fence, we wage war in ourselves constantly. To prove to ourselves that we are right with the Lord, we try to act all goody-goody on the outside, but in the inside, we know the real truth. And because we know the real truth, we try to make ourselves better than the rest with fights and quarrels only to belittle. The battle that I just described is vital, very much like dealing with the cerebral palsy that I have. Most people mistakenly think that I am paralyzed and cannot move my muscles. The opposite is true in that my muscles not only move, but they constantly work against each other to the point that my limbs are stiff and rigid from my brain sending improper signals. This description also pictures the church as a whole always fighting and bickering over doctrine. Amen. Spiritually, they are as stiff as my physical body in fighting and quarreling, and when it gets right down to it, it is done all to make each other better than one another. It is found in our everyday lives as we interact with one another, as we fight and quarrel. But it is not the other person's fault. No, the fault lies in us and our stinking pride that tells us that we are better than the rest. Yes. And because of our pride, we kill. Because of our pride in wanting to look better, we covet, like verse 2 says. No, we don't physically murder someone, but we can kill them by the words that we speak. This is in direct contrast to trusting in the Lord to ask Him to make us into His image. We can only put our trust in the Lord Jesus. It is my prayer now that in all of our lives that we would fan into flames the gifts that God has given us so that more people can be ready for His second coming.
Amen.
So fan the flames. Fan the flames. Fan the flames. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I wonder if some people would like to invite Jesus in your heart for the first time or rededicate your life. You want to fan into flames the gift within you to dispel of any passivity in your life and replace it with the fire and zeal for Jesus. Who would like to do that? Raise your hand, or speak out, or shout, or better, stand up to confess it so that it will become real to you. Be bold in it. So, I will see everybody in heaven. Is there anybody else? Thank you, and better yet, may the Lord Jesus bless you, Pastor Gary.
Lord, we humbly come before your throne. Lord, you work in mysterious ways. Lord, you didn't make a mistake when they first found that Rick had cerebral palsy. There was no mistake there. Some people will say, well, there was an error in the way Rick came into this world, and he was dealt a bad hand. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was dealt the exact hand you wanted him to be dealt. For Lord, you minister and you call people. You bring forth, Lord God, people from every walk of life. For you, you have used Rick to touch people's lives that many of us could never in a million years touch. Lord, you use the weakness that the world would call a weakness or a disease. You've used it for power and glory. You've taken this man, Lord God, and because, Father God, I see every Wednesday and every Monday and every Wednesday, I see people who are in wheelchairs and extremely handicapped. And if it wasn't for the Dynavox, people would look at Rick and say, he's just retarded. He has no life. He can't talk to you. Nothing can happen. But Lord God, by your mercy and your love, because you knew this man had a heart. You knew he had a inner strength. You knew, Lord God, that he had a soul and a mind that was truly not captivated by a physical deformity, but a man, Lord God, who is more powerful in the name of Jesus Christ than people could ever dream of. You've used him to touch people's lives. And Lord God, I ask you for a special blessing upon him. I ask you to pour out, Lord God, the desire of his heart. I ask for more opportunity, Lord God, as I was speaking to other churches, that Rick would be able to go to other churches and speak at other places. For Lord, he's got a message when we see him confined, when seeing he has to push a button in order for a voice to come out of a machine. But Lord God, what we can look beyond that, we can see the true man and the strength and the desire that this man has to get out the gospel. I can't even imagine all he goes through just to get out the gospel, when it's so easy for us just to open our mouths and speak a testimony. Lord God, I pray that today Rick's message that you gave him, because it was truly you, Lord God, you put on my heart last Monday to call him and say, I want you to speak this Sunday. When you said that to me, I said, okay. And I had no idea that he was praying for that opportunity. Oh, Lord God, take the message that you've given today to wake us up. Let us see, Lord God, that truly, Lord God, there's a flame in each one of us. And the higher that flame gets, the more powerful it gets. And the more it will glorify the kingdom of the living God. But if we don't fan it, it's just going to whittle down to nothing. And then we become people who are not, we become people who are lukewarm. And Lord, we know the results of that. I praise you today, Lord God, for those who stood on their feet and said, Lord, that new commitment. And I know, Lord, a lot of people before they took communion said the same exact thing. Lord, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Wash away my sins so I don't unworthily come before the table. And we praise you today for that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. I got to tell you something. First of all, last Tuesday, I took Rick to the show, and we saw the Chronicles of Narnia. And this guy, I mean, take him to the show is just, I mean, it was a thrill of a life for him because he loves going. And so we made a commitment that I'll be taking him at least, try to take him at least once a week, if not every other week, to the show. But you've never in your life seen anybody eat as much popcorn as this guy. I kid you not, and I got a medium-sized thing of popcorn and filled up two of those square boxes, you know, the ones that you get for the extra popcorn? I filled up two of those. And through the whole show, I was going, and he was trying. And a couple times he bit me, you know, and I got a big thing of root beer, and I'm going like this, and I'm feeding popcorn into his mouth, and not one or two at a time, like six or seven at a time, you know. And we laughed, and he ate, and I ate 20%, and he ate 80% of that popcorn. And drank all the root beer, and now next we're going to go see King Kong, right? Yeah, we're going to go see King Kong. I'm going to take him to see King Kong. And but you know what? I Steve Klicka and Missy Klicka, thank you for the ministry that you have with Rick Holm as Steve goes by every Sunday to the house and picks up Rick and brings him to church. And that's not always an easy task because you have to switch cars and you have to lock him in and you have to with all the stuff that keeps him, you know, in safety with that. And then Chip Fleury does the same thing on Wednesday nights. Chip goes over to his house and puts him in the van and brings him over to Chip's house, over to Joe Pruch's house for home fellowship. And so any interest in anything that you do, let me tell you something. You want to serve a saint? Right here. You want to serve a saint? This is the way you do it. And if you want to say to Steve Klicka, hey, you know something? Let me help you with this. Let me help you. Let me be a part of this ministry. Because this man is a part of our ministry. And I wasn't going to do this. And the only thing I can do in this church without a full council approval is to select elders and to select the pastoral staff. That is strictly up to me. And today, I want to honor you with being on our pastoral staff here at Windsor Harvest. The truth is, the truth is, Rick, you honor us. You honor us. And so we now have three pastors. We now have three pastors that are on our pastoral staff here at Windsor Harvest. Besides myself, it's Pastor Rick, and it's Pastor Patty, and Pastor Chip. These are three associate pastors, and so we consider it an honor and for you to be a part of this. And I'm going to also, and that also means that what I would like you to do, because the fact is that when we have meetings and we have meetings and stuff like that, that you'll be invited to help us bring wisdom to the guidance and the direction of this church. Okay? Yeah, I figured you would. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you for coming out.
Maybe so.
Go ahead. By the way, as he's doing this real quick, you have any idea how long it takes him to prepare a message? It's word by word by word,
thank
letter
you.
By letter. You're welcome. You're welcome. And on behalf of these are your people. And you're here you know, I don't have to tell you this. You're here to serve these people. And you served us today with a word, let me tell you. You served us a good meal today, a real good meal. Amen? Amen. Man, it's only 11:35. We're trying real hard to be able to make our services just a little bit more, so that I know that a lot of you are coming. So we're trying real hard for this new year to bring our services into an hour and a half service. And because I know that there are times and stuff like this, and so we're trying to streamline, as you saw today. We tried to streamline music, we tried to streamline everything, but never take away from the Holy Spirit. Never take away from the Holy Spirit. Take away from all the things man wants to say, but not the Holy, but not never the Holy Spirit. Never the Holy Spirit. Is Kenny back? All right, victory song. Are you ready to sing it with me? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, go. Everybody stand. Let's close out today with the victory of Jesus. Rick and I are going to sing this together. Are you ready, Rick?
To our God, we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our enemies. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Who is it, Rick?
Christ is King. For God has won the victory and set His people free. Slay the enemy, the earth shall stand and see that you are God. We shall do valiantly,
and
see
who will tread down our enemy. We'll sing. Time for you to say it. Christ is King.
Are
you ready, Rick?
Now.
Say it again. Christ is King. One more time.
Christ is King.
Amen. Amen. Guys, I would like to have you, as you leave here, walk up to Rick and just say, God bless you, thank you. And as you do, I'm going to share something this with everybody. When we come up here, when the elders of the church come up here and pray, Rick will tell you this. And, you know, please do not treat him like he has cerebral palsy or he's an invalid, because he's not. He's not, okay? You can't believe it. I tug on this thing. I pull on this thing. I throw popcorn at him. And we laugh at him, right, Steve? We kid with him. I mean, that's what he wants. He doesn't want your sympathy, and he doesn't want you to do anything else than treat him like a regular person. And so, you know, and when I first met Rick and I was leaning over to give him a hug, I didn't know that this thing here would do all kinds of weird, turn you around circles. So every time I hugged Rick, he ran over me. And he's trying to tell me, Pastor, when you hug me, you're pushing on this and I'm running over you. And so anyway, when he prays with you and you come up here for prayer for anything, and when he prays for you, and I'll tell you what, all you do is place your hand on him like this, and he prays, trust me, it will be like he is continually praying in tongues. And that's what, you know, but he's praying, and let me tell you, it is true. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And let me tell you what, this man's prayers availeth much. And because he does it from his heart, you may say to him, I want you to pray for my family, and he'll start praying. You may not understand, but trust me, God does. God does. So anytime we're up here for prayer and stuff like that, and you walk up here to be prayed for by Rick, boy, jump on it. Jump on it, because I truly believe in all my heart. So give him a congratulations. Say, hey, Pastor Rick, congratulations, okay? God bless you. Thank you for coming today.